Well, thank you for that introduction. This is Lori Cagle in for Carl Lissick. And today our guest is John Sherrington, Executive Director of Sales and Marketing for Renewable Energy Group. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lori. Appreciate it.
Please tell us more about Renewable Energy Group.
Yeah, Renewable Energy Group, or REG, is the nation's largest producer and marketer of biodiesel. Our headquarters is in Ames, Iowa. We've got 11 biodiesel refineries located across the country. Those are mainly located in the Midwest. We've been marketing biodiesel a long, long time, all the way back to 1996.
Wow.
And we sell neat, pure B100 biodiesel, or we also sell biodiesel blends B5 to B20. Mm-hmm. And the product is currently readily available throughout Indiana.
Great. Are you starting to see some increased interest from public and private fleets to use biodiesel?
Yeah, Lori, we are both in the public and the private sector, and I think there's a few reasons for that. The first of which is just increased product availability of biodiesel. It's become a mainstream fuel. Nearly 3 billion gallons of biodiesel was integrated into the distillate fuel supply chain in 2017. We expect that to grow in 2018.
That's great.
And once again, it's readily available throughout Indiana and the greater Chicagoland area. I think a second reason is there just tends to be, both in the public and the private sector, a lot more interest in low carbon emissions fuels. In particular, a growing number of public and private entities have corporate sustainability initiatives. Mm-hmm. that biodiesel can help them meet. And then finally, just the economics work. Typically, biodiesel is at a par or perhaps even a few cents a gallon cheaper than diesel fuel.
Sure. All good points. John, are there performance advantages associated with utilizing biodiesel blends as well?
Yeah, the product quality of biodiesel being produced today is absolutely exceptional. So some of the benefits include, you know, reduced tailpipe emissions as well as reduced greenhouse gas emissions. Biodiesel at very low blends, just B2 and higher, is a tremendous lubricity additive to diesel fuel. There's no requirement to add outside additives if you're utilizing biodiesel. Mm-hmm. And then finally, biodiesel has enhanced cetane levels, which helps engines perform better. It's a lot like octane in gasoline. So those are some of the performance attributes of biodiesel.
Great. You're listening to Green Fleet Radio on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Lori Cagle in this week for Carl Lissick. John, what about cold weather performance for biodiesel? How does it work?
Yes, our customers these days, Lori, are using biodiesel year-round. Biodiesel, just like diesel fuel, does need to be managed, you know, in some of the harsh climates we have in the wintertime. So we have lots of customers that will use B15 to B20 blends. Mm-hmm. of biodiesel in the summertime. In the wintertime, they will back that off to B5 or B11 blends. And in some cases, they'll add either kerosene or number one diesel fuel or additives to that. But customers today are successfully utilizing biodiesel year-round across the country.
Great. That's important in the Midwest here for us, especially with our cold winters.
Right.
Are there economic benefits associated with biodiesel blends within our state? I know there's some difference in biodiesel costs compared to number two ULSD.
Yeah, so biodiesel is almost always sold at a par or a few cents a gallon cheaper than diesel fuel. So there are federal incentives in place that make biodiesel cost effective. And then there tend to be some local incentives placed both in municipalities and cities and states around the country. But we find our customers throughout Indiana, once again, utilizing biodiesel blends year-round, taking advantage of some of those economic benefits.
That's great. So what are some of the trends you're seeing with public and private fleets in the rest of the country?
Yeah, so I mentioned, Lori, a bit earlier, just I think we're really starting to see a low-carbon emission economy. Mm-hmm. Developing across the U.S. and it's gathering momentum. So that trend, as a lot of fuel trends, began in the western part of the United States and Canada and really seems to be gaining traction. I know in some of the upcoming elections, a number of states have initiatives on the ballot pushing these agenda items. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Sure.
And then in addition, in October of this year, Lori, as you know, that the UN issued the report in October of 2018, warning of the dire consequences if carbon pollution isn't dramatically reduced in the near term. So I think that's helping once again gain traction and gather momentum. And perhaps in response to that, ExxonMobil actually announced in October as well that they're actually spending $1 million in a lobbying effort to place a tax on planet warming carbon dioxide emissions. So that, in addition to the, the public and private corporate sustainability initiative that I talked about previously, those are all some of the, the big picture trends we're seeing throughout the country, and those will be coming to the Midwest eventually.
Sure. Well, it's good to see people paying attention. John, as we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share with us today?
No, I'd just like to thank, you, Lori, and South Shore Clean Cities and their support of clean energy initiatives, not just biodiesel, but everything that you guys are doing. I would also like to say if people have additional questions about biodiesel, I would encourage them to go to REG's website. It's www.REGI.com.
Well, John, we very much appreciate at South Shore Clean Cities having REG as a member and partner and friend. And that will do it for today's edition of Green Fleet Radio. Thank you again to John Sherrington, Executive Director of Sales and Marketing for Renewable Energy Group, or REG. Green Fleet Radio airs three times each Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm your host, Lori Cagle, in for Carl Lissick. Thanks for joining us. And as Carl says, remember, it's never too late to begin your environmental legacy.